Get ready. It's Dick and
Andy Fart.
Greg Dickerson and
Andy Shart
on Sports Radio WEEI.
Final hour, Andy Hart from Patriots Football Weekly and Greg Dickerson will lead you up until noontime. We got football, right, Eamon, coming up. What's the game that we have on this here network? I want to say Kansas City-Cleveland. I could be wrong. Could be. Yes?
Guess again.
Jets-Miami.
Bingo.
Jets-Miami.
AFC East battle. Of course, you got to keep up with your contenders.
Pretenders. I'd rather it be the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game, but nonetheless, whatever.
Cool. Okay. Slugfest.
Well, they're actually two good teams as opposed to the Jets and Miami, who are somewhat the dregs of society in the AFC East.
It's just hurtful. Got to be careful.
Is it true, though?
People are very sensitive.
No, I know they. Well,
they're mad at me for accusing Gronk of bullying because that has negative connotations in the world we live in. And I don't know if you know that sometimes words have different meanings in sports than they do in real world.
You mean like battlefield?
Oh, yes.
I mean, like, it's a war out there? The trenches?
Yes.
Can't say those.
There's, like, different locker room cancer doesn't mean the guy actually has
cancer.
Well,
that one I don't like. I know. I try and avoid
that one at all.
That one I try to avoid.
I don't understand why.
It doesn't bother me.
It means something different.
No, it doesn't bother me, but that's one of the ones I try and avoid because I know that can be. Because it's one more thing I don't need in my life. I don't need somebody to get all, I get enough people
pissy
who get pissy at me. Yeah, so that's one thing that I avoid.
If we're going to erase all of those, and we don't need to go down this road because I know Mark Whipple got into trouble for using the rape word and football language, not in terms of real world, and he lost a game.
I've heard that offense, raped and pillaged.
Gone on for years.
Heard that
and
forever.
I understand now, you know, things are different. The Me Too movement. There are a lot of things that have gone on for years that shouldn't have.
Yes.
And maybe we are going in the right direction in those areas. And if that one gets removed, I'm fine.
I'm okay with it.
But forever, there will be words that in sports mean something different than if you actually if he beats up on the defense. Well, guess what? If a guy beats up on his wife, terrible thing, has a real world connotation. If a guy beats up on the defense, you're praising him, right? You're saying he did his job. Yes. Gronk beat up on that defense. Well, there are different words, different meanings.
Bullying, though, Andy. I mean,
well, that's overused term, by the way, in the real world.
Kids are listening, Andy.
Yeah, and guess
kids
what? It's overused. It's overused a ton in the real world. There are kids who are bullied, and that's being cheapened by every kid who has any disagreement be calling the other one a bully.
I'm sorry. The worst thing now is the shamed. The blank shamed.
Yeah.
Height shamed.
Right.
Fat shamed.
Right.
Face
ugly,
shamed.
Ugly hat shamed. No offense. I wasn't looking at you.
Andy Hart, ugly hat shamed me earlier today. And you know what? To be honest with you, I don't know if I can continue and go on.
Well, you
so
can.
Hurt.
You got another 46 minutes you'll continue with.
Oh, I don't know.
Not going solo.
Said, I can just say, hey, I'm not sitting around working with some guy who's going to hat shame
me. Okay, re-rack Brady and Dennis and, Kirk and Callahan.
You know that first 40 minutes we did, Eamon? Re-rack it, replay it. I'm out of here. You and Shart Hart. Part, you guys say
that's hurtful,
here. But it's
you're just, being mean.
I'm not being
There's a
mean.
Lot of negativity just, in that phrase.
Is fart really a
calling
negative?
Me a fart? Yes,
I'm
you
not
are
calling
sensitive
you a fart.
Little
fart. Quite literally stink
and smell.
Right.
Speaking of stink and smell, you mentioned the Patriot defense to me off the air,
and I didn't say stink or smell about them.
No, you didn't. But some people might think that they're not a very good defense and that they stink.
They gave up two field goals last game they played.
Yeah, they
seems
do,
pretty
they
good
do,
to me.
How they do before that?
It's what have you done
for me lately? Okay, what will they do tonight?
You new to this gig?
What will they do tonight against the Green? I still look at this defense and I don't know what to think of them. Week to week, it seems to change for me.
I think they have some issues. They're not a shutdown.
No, I know they're not a good
they're
defense.
They're not even, in my opinion, they haven't even ascended to bend but don't break. They're... Right. If the other team's not very good, bend but don't break. But if the other team's pretty good, they break more often than not. Now,
hence last week, Buffalo, they didn't break.
A historically bad offense. Historically bad offense. Ranked 31st or 32nd in virtually everything in the National Football League offensively. This is a Packers offense that's pretty good. They are pass first. Aaron Rodgers is big play. He's actually, his completion percentage is way down. In today's, it's like 61%, which in this NFL is not good anymore. But 13 touchdowns, one interception. He has like six different receivers with a pass play of 45 yards or longer. They're big play. Adams is a good player. Certainly Jimmy Graham can still hurt you, and the Patriots have had issues with tight ends a lot this year. But now, the Patriots can shut me up. Right. Tonight's an opportunity. Like, I give you credit last week for, if not now, then when? Like, prove you can shut down a bad offense. Because there's been times over the years where even, you know, backup Jag, Derek Anderson type quarterbacks would throw for 300 yards and beat you.
No, actually, a Jag did do that a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Bortles.
Yes.
With the Jaguars.
But for some reason, he seems to play better against the Patriots than anyone else.
It's unbelievable.
But so build on last week. Okay, last week you did what you should do. You won a fight that you should win. It's not a real fight. It's a football fight. I don't want anybody to think this was out behind the bleachers. Now you have a better offense. Aaron Rodgers, a better quarterback. Make life tough on him.
Yeah, but do you have the ability to do that? Do you have the correct personnel the ability to do that against Aaron Rodgers?
They struggled against Mitchell Trubisky in terms of an athletic quarterback who can move a little bit.
He just made garbage throws.
And then he just misses throws. If you don't miss, even early on in the Chiefs game, I thought Patrick Mahomes missed wide open throws. There was one to Hunt, beat Hightower down the seam, should have been a touchdown. I thought he missed three touchdown passes in the first quarter in that game, and that's why it was a little bit of a slow start. It was field goals there, and then it took off, and both quarterbacks were putting up because the Chiefs' defense stinks. A lot of defenses stink this modern NFL.
Well, and that gets me into where I was just going to go, is that...
Are the Patriots the third best defense in football, as Pro Football Focus has them?
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they do not.
Yes, they do.
Who do they have?
Oh, you're a good boy. Yes, they do.
They do.
Who's first and second then? Who's fourth?
I don't know.
First, third?
Yeah, you didn't see that graphic making the rounds on social media this week?
No.
Pro Football Focus
stats
grades.
Stats are for losers.
Yeah, stats are for losers.
Okay.
Unless they back up your point and you're a Patriots fan, then you say, these stats are awesome.
Pro Football, no, you want to hear? Pro Football, it's a bunch of nerds. Ireland, what do they know? They don't know anything.
They think
the GOAT stinks now. They think the GOAT can't play anymore. They think Aaron Rodgers is better than the GOAT, man.
Nerds.
They also have Trey Flowers as the best defensive edge player in the NFL. Highest grade all year.
Hell of a year. He's having a hell of a year.
I think he's had an okay year. He started slow, and he's picked up the pace.
Okay. I'm focusing on what
he's
what
like
I've
four
seen
spots
last
ahead
lately.
Of JJ. Oh, yeah. Last week's game, he was phenomenal.
Yes.
If he can play like that, then I'm talking about I want to re-sign him,
right,
you know, for $10, $12, $14 million a year, and he's a centerpiece of my defense. I think he's been a little quiet leading up to that. But my point is, they're not the number three defense in football. They're not the 32nd defense in football. Right. They're somewhere in the middle.
But does it – my question is, I guess, does it matter? In this day and age of,
yes,
you just said, there's so much garbage, so many bad defenses around the National Football League, and offense is where it's at. Will that – matter? Because you're probably just going to play another good offensive, bad defensive team in the playoffs.
But did it matter last February?
Yes, it did.
But it may not have. If Tom Brady doesn't get strip sacked, right?
They may march down the field, score a touchdown,
and then
win the game.
The defense didn't matter. You couldn't get a stop. You couldn't get off the field. And yet if Brady outshoots him, it doesn't matter.
Right.
So if you win the game, it's one of those scoreboard results thing. But could that be a fatal flaw of this team? Sure as hell could be. It was a fatal flaw last year. In the end, your inability to get off the field could not be overcome by Tom Brady and the offense. They tried their damnedest. They were pretty close. And your inability to hold the Chiefs in check didn't cost you. You scored 43. They scored 40, right? I mean, you show that a lot over the years, that you can win a shootout. Now, where I think they need to get to is where they were last year during the regular season, where there was that whole stretch where they would get a stop or a turnover. Brady turns that into points. It's 14-0. Now you're playing from ahead. You can kind of bully the other team's offense a little bit, careful, and play your style of defense. And it's much easier to play that way from ahead. A lot of these teams do that. The Chiefs do that. They're a terrible defense, but if you can play from ahead, it makes it palatable. It makes it a way to win consistently. But this is a good test for them. This is a pass offense that's pretty good. They have some weapons. They have this young Jones running back. They don't give him the ball a ton, but he's averaging like 6.5 yards
attempt.
Probably
knows better than to field a kickoff.
He'll probably listen if they tell him what to do. So I think this is a good measuring stick as to where you are. Maybe you're building. You know, it wouldn't be the first Patriots defense that looks better in weeks 8, 9,
and 10. Well,
it
happens every year. Well,
right.
Every single, even if they're poor, every Patriot defense in late November into December is always better than the defense was in September, October.
And then,
even if they're a bad defense, they're better.
Then last January you saw, well, it kind of crept back towards, they're really not that good. They kind of smoke and mirrored it there for November and December. So this is a good game for them to sort of rally and try to figure out who they are, and for us to figure out who they are.
I
now, if they give up 420 yards passing to Aaron Rodgers, then you just say,
but what if they win the
shootout
game?
City.
But what if they win the game?
But you're then like, you know, okay. Shootout City right. is how we win. That's how we're going to, because well, the trade deadline has passed. Like, you're not at, yeah, Bruce
but how is it different, Andy? I think it's the same either way. If you give up 400 yards passing and 37 points and you win, isn't it the same narrative as if you lose the game and still give up?
Well, no,
and
because
you score 35 points.
You're good enough to overcome it one way because you're going to face decent quarterbacks and decent teams come January. You're going to be in January. You're going to yep. be a division winner. You're going to have a tough opponent. I mean, unless you cross your fingers and say,
but who are you going to play that has a good defense? I guess that's where I'm going, Andy. When you're playing in the AFC, tell me the tough defense that concerns you, or the no. defense that you think could shut them down.
Shut them down. Nobody. There
Jacksonville,
is nobody.
Nope. I thought that 4 weeks ago out of Jacksonville. I don't think that now.
Right. And if you
but
had
Pittsburgh,
to go to
no.
Jacksonville.
Kansas City, no.
Okay, you're concerned. But you're hoping that, you know, things fall into place. So the only place you might have to go is Kansas City. And maybe they'll stumble and you can get to where you're in your usual January. It comes through Foxborough and you're going to beat me at home. And that's hard to do. But yeah, there's no, I mean, the Ravens are a decent defense, right? They can throw
actually,
a little
Flacco
something
playing
at
well.
You.
Flacco's playing well,
so,
well this year.
Yeah,
that'd be the one
no
team. That's a good pick.
Their whole thing is we've done it before.
Right.
You know, they have a little swagger. Harbaugh's on the hot seat. What better way to get off the hot seat by doing what you do, maybe upsetting the Patriots in January? That's a tough one. Maybe Houston, depending on where they are. You know, they find a way to win. But Bill
they're
O'Brien
not the
is...
They're not the same Houston team that we saw here
no.
back in September.
And Bill O'Brien has fallen on his face yeah. in these matchups with Belichick and Brady and coming to New England. But J.J. Watt and Clowney and those guys are playing pretty well defensively. So... are they a team that can pull a Broncos and just or a Giants and just own the line of scrimmage and say, we're going to get to Brady? They did it a couple of years ago when they lined up Whitney Merciless over the center and, you know, you're pressuring Brady. That's the one way. It's cliche, but that's the one way that teams upset Brady in the postseason.
What happened to Jacksonville?
They were a team that was, as expected, ready to just blow up. When you have that offense-defense divide, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's going way back to Buddy Ryan and Kevin Gilbride fighting on the sideline, throwing punches at each other. When you have that true divide of great defense, crappy offense.
Todd Haley and Greg Williams.
Yeah, it becomes this battle where it's not the Jags versus everyone else. It's sometimes the Jags versus the Jags. And then they had the worst part was they had defensive guys fighting.
Well, I was going to say the defense isn't
right.
exactly.
Internally fighting. So it's just not on the same page. They are a very talented defense. They have no quarterback except
when he plays the Patriots.
And so I'm not totally – and I don't love the coach, Doug Marrone, the way he kind of kicked away their opportunity last January right. here. So I think lack of leadership, lack of quarterback, yeah, you're in the middle of the pack.
Describe Gary down in Connecticut, 617-779-7937. Hi, Gary. Welcome to WEEI with Andy and Greg. What's going on, Gary?
How's it going, guys?
Pretty good, thank you.
This discussion between Rodgers and Brady.
Gary, hang on 1 second. We're going to put Gary on hold and see if we can clear up his line instead. So hold tight. Let's go to Paul in Westfield. Hi, Paul. How you doing? Welcome to WEEI. Hello, Paul. Paul, we got you this time?
Good morning.
Go ahead, Paul.
Guys, I want to agree with what you're saying and make an emphasis on this point. We've only really played one game, and that game we won when we played Kansas City. If you look at the season, Detroit beat the heck out of us, Jacksonville did, and then they got wiped out. You know, Indy was a close game, and the other games don't count because those teams stink. So what I'm hearing is when you can play the good teams and win, make it healthy to the end of the year, that's really what matters. And if we beat up on Green Bay tonight, it's an indicator. But look at how screwball this whole season has gone. I mentioned how we got wiped out, and then them teams that beat us, Detroit and Jacksonville, they got wiped out. It's really anybody's season so far.
Yeah, the word I've been using is the Patriots are in the fray. They're in the fray with everybody else. We're so used to them sort of being above the fray and setting the pace for the marathon. Now even though you've come back with this winning streak, you're 6-2, you're feeling good. You're still sort of in the fray with the losses and the way you've played and the ups and the downs. But tonight would be a good one if you can control this game. And I'm not saying,
do you feel good though about this team at 6-2? Set aside, and Paul, thanks for the phone call. Setting aside all the other teams and the sort of dysfunction that there is in the league,
right? I can't do that.
Well, I'm just looking at the Patriots in general. If I were just to look at things in a vacuum, Patriots 6-2. I've seen them play every week. I know their strengths. I know their weaknesses. I'd be concerned. I'd have my questions about this team, but I probably wouldn't feel as good as I have in years past at 6-2.
Yep.
But then when I open up that vacuum and I open it up to everybody in the AFC, I say, well, I do feel pretty good. I probably feel as good as I have in years past, even though they have all the warts.
Because nobody's that good. And the one thing you really have is the team that I would fear is Kansas City. You beat them.
You beat them, right.
And you beat them to try to make it mean that they have to come to you. It's not that way yet. They still have a game on you, but can they make it through at 15-1 to make sure they get you to come to their house in January? But you showed that you can play with them,
right?
That they're not just going to walk all over you. It's not a bad matchup, whatever you want to. And then everybody else, do you have problems? Is Gronk maybe going to be out? Is Michelle? Sure. And then I look to Houston that was ready to start rolling, and they lose
Will Fuller.
And now they're scrambling to add a receiver because it's been such a benefit to have, Will Fuller didn't play against the Patriots on opening day. That offense looks a lot different when Will Fuller is on the field. And you have these other teams that are middling, that are okay. Is Pittsburgh rolling? No. Is Baltimore rolling? And they're going to beat up on each other just like they always do.
And we're going to watch that game today, and you're probably going to look and say, okay, pick a team. Pittsburgh, wow, they really impressed. Or Baltimore, wow, okay, they showed themselves. And then all of a sudden, you got to change things around 2 weeks from now and say, remember that Pittsburgh-Baltimore game? I thought Pittsburgh was the real deal, or I thought Baltimore was the real deal.
Which is why I thought, last week's game was not pretty in Buffalo on Monday night, right?
It was awful.
No, what it was 12-6 in the third quarter.
It's a dreadful watch.
But who was
I was on a plane watching it. I was kind of hoping we'd have massive turbulence. Knock out the DirecTV system.
Who was really happy post-game, it seems?
Nobody.
No, Bill Belichick.
Oh, Belichick.
Why?
Why?
He expects those. He expects a Monday night at Buffalo
interdivision game
to be, he called it a grind. We ground it out. And he leaves with a 25-6 victory and says, you know what? That's what good teams do. They grind it out. They don't, like you're saying with Baltimore. They beat Pittsburgh today and then fall on their face in 2 weeks in Cleveland or wherever they are. Some game they should probably win. Don't do that. If you're a good team, you find a way to win. And his team is now not falling on its face in Detroit like it did early in the year, not falling on its face in Buffalo, which could have happened. You're one play away, right? You're in the third quarter ends and it's 12-6. One play and all of a sudden it's 13-12 and you're looking up at the scoreboard. You didn't let that happen. And he knows that's moving in the right direction. That's progress.
And we've seen even the great Patriot teams of the past, we've seen them struggle in divisional games.
Buffalo's a great example because they're 29-3, so you'd say, whew, they've killed the Bills. Well, no, you added to 29-3 on Monday, you didn't kill them. You were in a dogfight well into the second half. There's been at Buffalo, the Bills are onside kicking at the end of the game. If they recover it, they could have the upset, but you always find a way to win. That's why you're the Patriots, and the Bills are constantly being the Bills trying to find their way out of the basement.
He's Andy Hart. I'm Greg Dickerson, 617-779-7937. We'll come back and we'll make more inappropriate statements.
Yeah.
Probably me more than Andy will.
Yeah, that's
good. We'll take up until noontime. We've got Jets in Miami. Don't forget, at 4 o'clock, it's the real postgame show. You got Keefe, you got Mutt.
NFL Sunday.
Fourier. What did I say? The real postgame show? NFL Sunday, excuse me. NFL Sunday.
It's weird to have a postgame show before the game.
That's because we're WEEI. We always know what's going to happen before it really happens.
That's I can go to bed early then.
Exactly. Well, Glenn can already listen. I already told you what happened. I told you the Patriots are going to win this game.
No.
I never said that. I never said the Patriots would win. I said it's going to be a big Aaron Rodgers day. The Packers will win. That's tonight after the game. Real post-game shows after the game. NFL Sunday before the game. More Hart and Dickerson after the break. Sports Radio WEEI.
I watched the game.
Back to Dick and
Andy Fart.
Greg Dickerson and
Andy Shart.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Does it show that there's something wrong with me that... We were watching during the break an ESPN piece where they're talking about number 12s in the NFL, and they had on Joe Namath and obviously Staubach, and they had Jim Kelly, and you're my favorite. What, your favorite growing up, you said Randall Cunningham.
No question.
Loved him as well. Does it say something about me and the way my neurons fire that when I think number 12, I typically think Bill Walker or Ricky Davis? Yes.
It is. Okay.
Says
that's a lot about you.
Sadly.
Von Wafer, another infamous number 12 that I think of right
now.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, that Brady guy.
You might want to think of Brady. Although Brady talked about it this week. Mike Reese asked him, and I'm assuming some of it was background for the package ESPN is doing, but... You know, if you recall getting number 12, and he said, yeah, they gave it to me. I was 10 in college, and Lee Johnson, the punter, had 10 at the time, and then they cut Lee Johnson, and he did consider after 2000, he said, switching to 10, but decided not to, and it's worked out pretty well.
Wasn't really my choice. I was 10 in college, and when I got here, Lee Johnson was 10. So whatever number was on my locker, which was 12, that was the one that Don Brosher gave me. So I wore that my first year, and then we released Lee, and I thought about going back to 10, but I just stuck with 12.
TB10.
I like it was on the first name basis, Lee Johnson.
Yeah.
I can't believe you remembered him. Hey, you know, when they released
Lee Johnson.
Lee there.
Yeah, he was a...
As opposed to that guy, when they released the punter.
And notable day trader who the
Lee
early
Johnson?
Days of the internet and stuff was.
Really?
I feel like he was in the visitor's locker room at Foxborough. He had a computer laptop set up and would do like stock stuff during the day.
Probably a smart idea when you're a... you know, on the fence punter in
right.
the NFL.
Yep.
You may want to do some day trading.
Use your money to make more money.
Exactly. Or you could be like, what's his name from Seattle? You could be like Michael Kendricks. And
hopefully
he wasn't exactly like Michael Kendricks.
No.
He wasn't getting
I don't believe he's gone to jail. So.
Well, Kendricks hasn't yet either.
But he's going to, right?
He's going to.
Yeah.
At some point in time.
Should probably try to stay out of jail.
I've tried that for 47 years.
General
now.
Rule.
It's worked out.
You've never spent a night in jail?
No.
Mildly
never.
Surprises me. I haven't.
You haven't.
No.
That surprises you that I haven't.
I just think you're a guy that could, you know,
what?
Get into a situation,
what?
Pop off,
like,
and maybe
no.
Go down a road.
No.
Again, that's a very good ding, ding, ding.
Knock on wood, I haven't, and I've been pretty calm my entire life.
That's a lot.
The only time where I'm not calm is in situations like this, when I'm on
when
the
you
air.
Blew up at
That's when I blow
for...
up. I save my blow ups for on the air. One time in my life did I... almost get kicked out of a bar because my temper got the best of me. But other than that,
wow! But just because you get kicked out of a bar doesn't mean
it's sports talk radio.
Going to jail, right? Here.
Well, no, but I mean, a lot of times it can lead to that. I mean, you've been drinking too much. You shoved
somebody,
swing at somebody. Thankfully, that buddy of mine was getting kicked out of the bar, and you know, I got upset about it. I said it wasn't his fault. He didn't do it. Back and forth between me and the bouncer. Probably not the smartest move of my entire life, yelling at a bouncer at a bar.
You never
probably,
win that.
Probably
you
not.
Almost
not,
never win that. I'm going to say never. I don't think I need the almost.
Not one of my smartest moments,
nope.
Not one of my finest moments
nope.
either. But I could try. You know what? I was young.
Where are you?
I was just a young kid. I didn't know.
Still stupid.
I was only 24.
And not that young. 24 should know.
Not necessarily.
Oh, come on.
At 24? I give
24,
a
you don't you think you should realize that
the bouncer is always right?
The bouncer is always going to come out on top?
Pretty much by 22, you should have that realized.
Yeah.
That's why I took him and threw him out of the club.
Let's go to this guy wanted to throw me out the club, but cooler heads prevailed. Let's go to John in Wrentham. Hi, John. Welcome to Hart and Dickerson. What's going on, John?
Hey, guys. I just want to call and talk today about the whole debacle with Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady.
Okay, what is the debacle?
Well, the debacle that everyone seems to be in is who's the greatest quarterback of all time, and frankly, I don't even see how this is an argument. I mean, you could look at it just purely in terms of Super Bowls, playoff success, you know, just generally the intangible things that you measure quarterbacks. It's not even close.
Well, John, I agree with you. And Andy does too as well. You understand that this is more of a marketing campaign for NBC and the national audience.
Of course. I couldn't agree with you guys more on that. I mean, they want to hype this game up, get the ratings up there. I totally understand where that's coming from. But it seems that there are people that genuinely believe this. It would seem that there are people out there that seemingly genuinely believe that Aaron Rodgers is a great. And to me, that's just totally absurd. I mean, you look at the consistency. You look at the past virtually 20 years of the NFL is characterized by...
Well, John, we're losing you. Sorry, your phone's crapping out on us.
Yeah, have you watched the Tom Brady highlight video? Adam Vinatieri has 30 minutes in.
Well,
it's a good line.
Is it crazy to say that fast forward 5 years from now, that Brady doesn't have another Super Bowl championship, that his career is done... Aaron Rodgers is still playing 5 years later. He's got two more Super Bowls, so that's three. Then is it a crazy argument to say that Aaron Rodgers is in at least the same conversation as Brady? I think it's
Tom
crazy
Brady
now.
Is just
but,
about done.
No, but if. It's all ifs.
No, I understand.
What
that.
If Ben Roethlisberger goes on a run and wins three in a row? But I guess my point is, Andy, it's not a crazy thing to say that he's in the conversation or maybe in the conversation.
See, I think it is right
over.
Now. I think
right
it's
now it is. Yes, right now it
misplaced.
Is. Misplaced.
Because if you're in the conversation, it's not just Brady. Like, we tend to think Brady is the GOAT.
Yes.
But that means you have to be better than Joe Montana, John Elway. Whoever else you want to throw in there. Because Elway's a guy, we fixate on the physical skills for Aaron Rodgers would give him a leg up maybe over Brady or yep. even Montana. Doesn't give him a leg up over John Elway. John Elway has more Super Bowls, correct?
John Elway also won his Super Bowls at the very, two Super Bowls
sure.
at the very end of his career.
Rodgers,
so
do
can,
it. Go ahead.
Rodgers can tag on a couple.
Game on. Prove it to me.
But it's not a situation where I'm sitting here and I'm trying to say, you know that Joe Flacco, he could be in the conversation.
No,
we know
what
Joe Flacco's not in that conversation.
Say Breeze won three in a row right here. Just pretend. Again, it's the if.
Guess what? A lot of people would think.
Okay.
A lot of people would put him in the same category
if.
As Brady.
It's all ifs, because Brady has done. He right. has the five Super Bowls. He has the eight, if you want to count them. Like, you get credit for that. I know
for
some people
yes.
discount him.
Getting there.
Saying losing a Super Bowl is bad. I never think losing your championship game is better. I mean, is worse than losing before your championship game.
And no sane person thinks that it is either.
Right, but there are some
idiots
who,
out there,
spew
yeah.
that argument. It's bad. It's dumb. And Brady has done all these things. There are people in the if you want to say if, well, what if Patrick Mahomes plays like he is right now for the next 15 years? He'll be in the GOAT conversation.
Well, but
I understand yours is
shorter term. Rodgers is a lot farther down the road than Patrick Mahomes or anybody else.
I understand that, but it's all ifs. There's no if with Brady. He's done it all. He's about to, you know, touchdowns, yards, Super Bowl starts, Super Bowl wins, whatever you want to use. You know, MVPs, he has them all. Offensive player records for a time he was the single season touch. Like, he's won with defense and dink and dunk. He's
an
won by chucking.
Unicorn. You know, there's not many like him.
I just, is it possible for people to get in the conversation? No doubt. Is Aaron Rodgers in the conversation right now? To me, no.
In terms of best quarterback in the league right now, yes, of all time.
Oh, yes, right
no.
now. They're both down, if you want to just go numerically. They're both having down years. They're middle-of-the-pack quarterbacks.
They're certainly not the best quarterback in the league this year, either one of them.
Right. So I don't know what would put Rodgers past Brady. I don't. Other than the pure physical, if you want a guy that does it differently, right. that runs and can throw off angle and do all those various things that Rodgers does, okay, Rodgers is your guy. But if you want to do that, I don't even know if he's the best at that that's ever played the game.
I think the only argument people can make out there for Rodgers is, one, hasn't played as many years, so he hasn't stockpiled all the numbers that Brady has. And number two, I think people just look at the style of Aaron Rodgers. Brady's is almost, I don't know how to, it's,
boring.
I don't want to say boring.
You want to say
yeah,
boring.
Boring. Yeah, it's boring.
Winning is boring when you do it as often as he does.
A lot of people, little dink pass over here to Julian Edelman. Little swing pass over here.
Death
to
by
White.
A thousand cuts.
Little back shoulder throw to Gronkowski in the end zone. Touchdown, it's over. Oh, wait. Did you see Rodgers? He scrambled
right.
around for
see that Hail Mary?
Seconds.
He threw it 68 yards in the air.
Yeah.
Great.
Dinkin
Did
dunk.
He win? How many rings is
No, no, no they lost that game. Sorry.
Like how many rings you got on your finger, buddy? Right? That's part of
see,
it.
That's part of it, and I hate that as an argument.
I hate it as the only. I hate it as the only. But
yes.
when you put that with 78,000 passing yards and 5,000 passing yards and
yes.
50 touchdowns, what does Brady lack? What does he lack? And I think some of it is everyone wants to pit somebody against him. Manning's gone. A lot of people thought Manning was the greatest of all time. Manning was better than Brady. Well, Manning's gone. You can't talk about Manning anymore unless you want to talk about the stupid commercials with Brad Paisley, because that's
those
all he's
good.
Notable
those
for.
Are,
They're
good.
Funny.
He's funny.
They're
he's
great.
Good.
Aaron Rodgers has good commercials, too.
I don't like that new guy, though.
The
agent guy?
I'm your agent.
That me.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that one.
Put
that
your khaki, fold your khakis up and go home. Should I unfold my khakis now? I kind of like them.
That's a State Farm one.
Whatever.
I prefer my State Farm commercials to be
all
Chris
those...
Paul and James Harden, all those NBA guys.
Yeah. I like the other one. Is that State Farm? The
Which one?
The Hall of Fame of accidents?
No,
that
bump,
has, like,
bump,
the busts.
We are. That's Farmers. We are Farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
Nursery Fire 126, 1982.
You know, we know how to handle it
right.
because
we've
seen a thing
right.
or two. 617-779-7937. We'll come back and we'll wrap things up, put a little bow on the show, and I'll ask Andy, what he thinks happens tonight.
Prediction
we
time.
Haven't had a prediction. We'll do that next. Sports Radio WEEI.
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
Back to Dick and
Andy Fart.
Greg Dickerson and
Andy Shart
on Sports Radio WEEI.
Outlier, he's a unicorn. You know, there's not many like him. Obviously, what he's done in making it more public now with his diet and his workout regimen, that kind of sets a blueprint for how it was done for him. And we all have our own ways of taking care of ourselves, but I think, you know, it's a great reminder about how important diet is to your overall performance.
You know, just what he's done as a quarterback is, I think it's inspiring. You know, even for me, I mean, I watch his game and it makes me want to get out there and practice and improve. Because I think he's so, you know, phenomenal with how he, you know, manages himself in the pocket. I mean, his ability to throw the football is, you know, unlike anyone in the probably history of the league. It's pretty awesome to watch. I mean, he throws some of the best incompletions I've ever seen.
Rodgers on Brady, Brady on Rodgers. All right, what's going to happen tonight? What do you think happens in this game?
I think we'll have what we expect to have, which sort of like the Kansas
City game. Is a shootout?
I think it'll be a little less of a shootout than the Kansas City game. I mean, that was the first game in the history of the NFL, 43-40. Mm. You don't get a ton of 40-40 type games. So I think it'll be down a little bit from that. Although, the Packers don't really run the ball. And the Patriots probably aren't going to run the ball. If Sony Michel's out and Patterson is your quote-unquote lead back again, you're probably looking at two teams that throw the ball. So that can lend it to high scoring and, you know, clock stoppages to give you the time when you're you know, looking to score a lot of points. So, but I think I've said all week 38-27 Patriots, and I think that's probably a late score.
Lock it in. Andy Hott says,
I think that's
37-28 Pats.
I did not say that, actually. 38-27. You know, like a 31-27.
Hey,
game.
Hott, you think the Pats are only going to win by 11, kid?
That's probably
are
negative.
Are you freaking
right.
kidding me,
You're
kid? 11?
I've been called a hater today for this performance on here.
Dude, he's the GOAT, kid. He's the GOAT. He's going to score at least 50 against Green Bay.
Ooh, 50, bro.
The Packers can't stop him, kid.
Can't they? And if Gronk doesn't play?
Doesn't matter.
No.
They got the GOAT, kid. No. The GOAT's going to do it.
Jake Hollister.
They don't need Jake Hollister. You know how good Hollister is with Brady?
I don't, actually. I've been waiting to see it. I think they like him, but I actually don't know how good he is with Brady. You know, it's a classic just. Don't turn the ball over. Don't give Rodgers an extra chance. I think if you kind of play the game on your terms, just hold on to the football, throw the ball, use your passing
game.
You're
a better team. A better team. You're
but
home.
I don't
you
know it's
game.
As far as the, you know, 6-2, 3-3-1 would indicate.
Right.
And Rodgers is healthy now, which I think has been a factor against the Packers throughout the middle of the first half of the season, first quarter of the season. You know, and I just, the offensive line worries me a little bit. The fact that Shaq Mason.
Maybe two guys down. Maybe two starters
so
down.
So it could be Ted Karras.
There's not a lot of great
Waddle.
Depth there to begin with.
No. And Karras and Waddle are guys that, yeah, they can fill in late in a game, but the more you play against them, and, you know, the Packers are a pretty good pass rush team. I think they're like second in the NFL in sacks per pass play. They have, obviously, Clay Matthews, all not having a great year, a couple sacks, but they can spread it out. They can get there from a variety of ways. But in the end, Brady, Belichick, at home, prime time. Seems like a safe bet.
Andy Hart, check him out. PFW, Patriot Football Weekly. Thank you, Andy. Thanks to Eamon on the other side. Don't forget, we've got NFL Sunday at 4 o'clock. You've got Keith. You've got Mutt. You've got Fourier. And then the real postgame show with Glenn and friends. Coming up, NFL football, top of the hour. We've got the Jets and the Dolphins. Thanks so much. Enjoy your football Sunday, everybody. You think the Pats are only going to win by 11, kid?
That's probably
negative.
You're right.
Are you freaking kidding me, kid?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.